ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our 2024 Empty Cradle Service of Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Service. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Nancy Flynn, and along with my husband Peter and an incredible group of volunteers, we are Metro Vancouver Empty Cradle Bereaved Parents Society. While I may be the face that stands up here and welcomes everybody and shares and initiates the service, I could not have done it without this amazing group of directors that I have working with me. So I'd like them to stand up when I introduce them. On our board this year, we have Nicole Chadwick, Jacqueline Whiting. My husband, Peter, is also on the board, and myself. We regret the fact that, we're sad about the fact that previous member Tabitha Parsons has decided not to be on the board this year, but we are so grateful for the many years of dedicated hard work that she gave to us. We do have a new board member. Her name is Jordana, and she is also your newsletter writer, but unfortunately she was not able to be here with us tonight due to some family commitments. So we welcome her on board, and we are so grateful for all of you. This service would not have been possible without the hard work and dedication of so many. All of that for allowing us to use their beautiful facility, and their administrative assistant, Dana, for helping with the program, and just helping me to do whatever needed to be done administrative-wise, to Peter for taking my ideas and giving them flight and allowing them to become reality, except for one glitch that we were not able to overcome with Zoom. So we'll work on it for next year. Maybe we can make it happen next year. And again, my sincere appreciation to Rob, our awesome AV tech, who again has taken time away from his family to come and run our audiovisual for us. So, having given the administrative part, let's start tonight's service. Some of you may have noticed when you walked in the door tonight a little sign to the side of the door here that read Sanctuary. One year, I was wondering about the meaning of that word, and I asked our wonderful Lady G assistant to give me the definitions she had. And of the ones she chose, I chose my favorite, which is a place of shelter and healing. So tonight, leave the world outside the door and use this time to reflect on the precious children that you have come here to remember. Take a deep breath, sit back, and allow yourself to be taken away by the words of the music, the songs, the reflections. And we trust that this service will be a special memory and another step in your journey towards healing. I'm going to ask Nicole to come forward and light the white candle of community for me. We meet together as a community of bereaved parents. As in any community, this one has several members of all ages, all genders, all ethnic groups. Everyone who has suffered the loss of a pregnancy or infant is welcome within these walls to remember and to pay tribute to the precious children we've lost. And it is time to invite the children to come forward if they wish to do so for their story time. And parents, it will be shown on the overhead, so you can follow along and listen as well. And, I know that we don't have a lot of children here tonight, so even the teenage ones, if you'd like to come forward, you're welcome to do so. So I will turn it over to Nicole.
Thank you, Nancy. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is called Some Babies. This is a new book that we are reading for tonight's service. Some babies rest all snuggled in their mama's arms. Some babies sleep amongst the brightest of stars. Some babies give hugs to those that they love. And some babies send sunshine, bringing warmth from above. Some babies turn to their tummies and learn to crawl. And some babies dance above the clouds, feet from lively and small. Some babies begin to sing, babble, and coo. And some babies send cardinals to share a song with you. Some babies say mama as their very first word. And some babies send a gentle breeze reminding mama her prayers have been heard. Some babies giggle while daddy tickles their toes. Some babies send feathers that tickle daddy's nose. Some babies wobble as they walk across the floor. And some babies spread their wings and learn how to soar. Some babies are bundled in puffy coats to make angels in the snow. And some babies fly with angels, sending snowflakes down below. Some babies are swaddled in blankets or dressed in hats and bows. And some babies are remembered through tokens worn everywhere we go. Some babies plant slobbery kisses on cheeks. And some babies send beautiful butterflies, so graceful and unique. Some babies celebrate traditions like birthdays and holidays. And some babies are honored by their family in new and meaningful ways. Some babies learn new colors as they explore the world. And some babies send rainbows to shine down on every boy and girl. Some babies are planted on earth with love. Some babies bloom in heaven above.
Some babies. The story behind this book is that we were at an empty cradle support meeting one night, many months ago, and someone mentioned that this book had provided significant support and hope and healing for her. I began looking for the book the next day, but back then it was out of print. It had only been printed in the UK. So I kept in the back of my mind that one day I was going to find this book, and this year I was determined. So I phoned Indigo Chapters at Metrotown and said, "Can you find this book for me?" And she looked and she said, "Oh, yes," she said, "there was a new printing just this July." So we ordered it, and we went and looked through it at the store, and we decided, yes, this would be perfect for this service. We messaged the author to ask permission to use the book for tonight's service, and she generously gave us that permission to do so. We had hoped to have her come join us for the service online, but unfortunately that was not able to happen, so I would have been absolutely thrilled if she had been here to share some of her thoughts. She had quite the journey to parenthood, and so did her illustrator. But so I share that as background for you for a really sweet little story. As you all know, or those of you who have been here before know, every year we choose a song for the service. And this year we were looking through songs, and I had come across a playlist on Spotify with a whole list of pregnancy and infant loss songs. And I found three or four that I really liked, and I sent the song list to Jacqueline and to Nicole and to Jordana, and I said, "Is there something that really speaks to you?" And I got a message a couple of days later from Nicole that Peyton, her daughter, had chosen the song Precious Child. I thought it was perfect. And then Peter came across a video that just so well incorporates both the story and Precious Child. So we'd like to share those first with you now. And sit back and relax and have the tissues ready.
What am I going to tell you about? He's six. He's smart, engaging, and funny, precocious, annoying, and I think the most amazing gift that I've gotten. I don't often think about talking about
and except in the context for how grateful I am that Quinn is here and that had Avery not come before him, I wouldn't be blessed with the gift of Quinn.
The thing is, I've always loved the rain. Always will. And always see it bringing different meanings. And it was pouring rain that day. And I took off in my truck. And I just kept yelling all the way over there. Why God, why? And then I start yelling to Elena. I put it all these raindrops that are coming down. It's how much your body loves you.
You get that positive pregnancy test. I'm going to have a baby. No, once you've had a lot to get the positive pregnancy test and you go, I'm pregnant.
The world thinks we should be done.
Why?
Why should we be done? They're here. They're in our family. We should forget them not. We were struggling all these years. You know, we still are to say stillbirth, miscarriage, infant death. It matters. People wake up. This is the future. These are our children who could have, should have lived and buried us. They matter.
I always liked seeing her in the morning. I always remember I would go to her room and like rub her tummy and be like, can't wait for my, you know, brother or sister to be here.
The picture is painted. Imagine black and white and then going into color.
It's hard because you have so much planned and so many things that you want to do with that one person.
And so here's this colorful garden, beautiful flowers and future that they have planted, and they're told their baby either will die or has died.
It's difficult to, like, you know, move forward on with what you want to do, especially, like, not having the baby there with you. It's complicated.
So now that baby doesn't have that future. Those parents, their dreams are dashed. Their hopes are, you know, ground into the Grand Canyon of pain. What can they do? They will never get the first smile, the first day of school, the first dance, the prom, the wedding, the grand job. It's all gone. This is it. We need to make it as big and bold and beautiful. We are family. And no one can take that from us. No one can ever take that family, the whole family, from us.
My purpose in life is much clearer. I have two jobs that I find completely rewarding and important. And the first one is to be a mother to Quinn. And the second is to be a mother to Avery. And the way that I do that is very different.
We've changed. We're different. I feel better. We are blessed. I am grateful.
Leaders from BC Women's Hospital, and she has agreed to share her thoughts with us this evening.
Good evening. It is an honor and privilege to be with you today as we create a sacred space to acknowledge, remember, and honor each one of your precious babies, treasured, beloved, and longed for sons and daughters, sisters and brothers, nieces, nephews, grandsons and granddaughters. It took courage to step over this threshold today, and I am grateful to be with you. My name is Grace Newdorf. In my current role as a chaplain or a spiritual health practitioner at BC Children's and Women's Hospital, I spiritually support families in their heartbreaking experiences of miscarriage, stillborn birth, termination of pregnancies due to fetal anomalies, as well as journeying with families through change, loss, and transition. I create sacred spaces with families, offering compassionate, spiritual support through their experiences. So today, when life's transitions are overwhelming, just breathe. Nancy has already invited us to take a deep breath. And I will invite you as well to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Spirit of peace, our source of compassion, quiet our hearts, calm our anxious thoughts, free us from our fretful ways. Breathe on us your sacred calm, so that in the stillness of your presence, we may open ourselves to trust and be transformed. Weaving a bag, weaving a story. I created this bag at a spiritual care conference many years ago. It sits on my desk at the hospital, reminding me of the tapestry of my own life as it weaves into the stories of persons I encountered at BC Children's and Women's. The outside of the bag is beautiful. It's a little tattered now. It's not perfect. Inside, I hold a little packet of Kleenex. The outside of the bag is beautiful, a little tattered, and on the inside, invisible to the eye and felt with the heart, are the various threads that create this tapestry of our lives, known by the weaver of the bag. Each of us has a unique story, and my hope and prayer is that the two green threads of hope will give you spiritual strength as you navigate the uncharted course of loss. Hope is an expectation of a good that is yet to be. Anne Lamott invites us to consider that even when life is at its bleakest, the seeds of rejuvenation are at hand. She indicates that all truth is paradox, and this turns out to be a reason for hope. If you arrive in your life at a place in your life that is miserable, it will change. I invite us to consider that for the first green thread of hope, the first green thread of hope to be woven, we need to create spaces of stillness, quiet, and reflection so that the seeds of rejuvenation can grow. Mary Oliver's poetic invitation in her poem Today invites us to take the day off. Quiet as a feather. I hardly move, though really I'm traveling a terrific distance. Stillness. One of the doors into the temple. When we are still, space to mourn is created as we embrace the pain of our loss. Marcel Proust invites us to consider that we are healed of a suffering only by experiencing it to the full. When we experience our suffering to the full, lament can be expressed, which gives birth to hope. When hope is birthed, we will notice the calm in the stormy sea, the glimpse of a rainbow, or the first green sprout breaking through the parched ground of loss. The light of hope can be seen on the horizon. Hidden hope is revealed only when we are able to live with the unresolved reality of the loss and suffering as we experience it in this broken world. Rainer Maria Rilke, an Austrian poet and novelist, invites us to live the question, to have patience with everything, and it's a quote, to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart, and to try to love the questions themselves, as if they were locked rooms or books written in a foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday in the future, you will gradually without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. After the unexpected death of her husband, Jan Richardson shares that, quote, hope is not always comforting or comfortable, unquote, because it doesn't answer our questions. Hope's invitation is to open ourselves to what we do not know. That sounds like faith and trust, which is the second thread. Of hope. It challenges us to journey on even when we don't feel like we can take another step. Hope helps us to keep breathing even when it seems like we can't breathe as we journey on the rocky path through life. In our places of desolation and pain, beauty stops us in our tracks, offering glimpses of hope in our journey. My friend Laura Erickson reminds us to pay attention to a light shining in a dark place. Can you even see a flicker of hope in the darkness? How does that hope help you look and see in the future, and at the same time be in the present, in the here and now? Padre Otuma, in his podcast Poetry Unbound, describes poetry as unexpected human encounters to unexpected moments, something surprising that comes out of nowhere. As a poet, I will add that poetry also speaks to the unspeakable, giving voice to an experience that is muted or internal, bringing the feeling or experience out in the open. And something personal in the poem may be something the world needs to hear. The threads of stillness, faith, and trust are woven through the story in this poem that I wrote in a season of desolation and pain. I invite you to walk with me through the forest. Take a deep breath. May my story offer you hope in your journey. Kneeling at the altar of beauty. Desolation overwhelms me. Darkness is my only companion. Grief washes over me like a rogue wave, unexpected. It's time to cross the threshold and go. My backpack is on, with provisions for the journey inward. Tissue, wallet, journal, phone for photos, pen. I look up. The sky's steel blue color peeks through the canopy of trees overhead, ceases to comfort a heart so broken. Where is the beauty in the brokenness? The losses litter the ground like composting leaves from the season before, lying in wait as nourishment for the growth of something new. How long, O compassionate one? The path on this journey through the wilderness is fraught with uncertainty. I'm feeling lost and alone. Which way to go? The snowdrops stop me in my tracks. Wading in the dark, cold earth, their green leaves push through the earth and composting leaves. They rise with strength and hope, a turnstile gate to a new season. Clusters of bright white faces dot the forested landscape. Under leafless trees, in many meadows by the rocky creek, behind protective fences, with cars roaring above, but not drowning out the unexpected gift at the well-worn toe of my hiking boot. Time stands still as I kneel at the altar of beauty. My journey continues. The sky looks warmer. I pull my toque over my ears and thank my constant sacred companion. In gratitude and hope, I am not walking alone. I have nothing to fear with you by my side. You are my dwelling place, in shadowed and unexpected places.
Sounds lovely, Grace. Thank you. We'll get to hear some more from Grace in a few minutes. I couldn't help but observe, as you spoke, some of the threads that have come together to put this service together. So many woven threads on that journey towards healing with the beauty and pleasant surprises. Let me tell you a story. I had fully wanted to share something with you tonight. As some of you know, every year we give you a takeaway, something to take home with you at the end of the service to remember the evening by. And I had wanted to do forget-me-nots. So I approached the local garden center and I spoke to the assistant manager and said, hey, would you guys be willing to provide some a donation of forget-me-nots? And she promised me that she'd look into it and get back to me. She didn't. So one day, as Peter and I were stuck in a traffic jam that lasted a couple of hours, I started scrolling through Amazon. And there, someone was offering 1,800 seeds of forget-me-not flowers. So I ordered those. And then I kept looking, and they had seed envelopes. So I ordered those as well. Last night, I sat at the table to fill the seed bags with these seeds. The first thing that had struck me when the forget-me-nots arrived was that three packages of forget-me-not seeds fit in a bag only the size of a Ziploc sandwich bag. When I opened the first package, I realized that there were really tiny little seeds in that bag. And I started thinking, these little teeny-weeny seeds, barely the size of a grain of rice, some of them, produce these beautiful blue flowers. And the impression hit me immediately. They're just insignificant seeds. We throw them in the ground, water them, and hope that they'll bloom. Some people think that the children we've lost, well, it was just a miscarriage. Insignificant. But those tiny, tiny, precious children are blooming in a place we cannot see until we can meet again. And I believe in my heart that we will one day meet again. So now is the time in the service for you to participate. I'm going to ask Peter to come up and join me. And maybe I'll get you to light the purple candle of memory. If that's okay. So you've each been given a candle and a heart. As you feel ready, come forward. Light your candle and put it around one of the three candles on the table, whichever one you like. Then, if you choose, you can say a few words about your child. Give us their name or just whatever you want. Take a few moments. Then walk over to the table over there, to the tree of love. Hang your heart on the tree
with your message to your baby and take one of the packages of forget-me-not seeds. And as you plant them, they are said to be planted early fall, so now, to bloom in the spring, and they will bloom between April and October. When you see flowers, forget-me-nots, the symbol of national pregnancy and infant loss, remember the children that we honor tonight. Those who are part of Empty Cradle will never be forgotten, as each year on their anniversary month, we have our newsletters that record the names of each child, never to be forgotten. So, Peter, can you come help me light candles, honey?
Yes.
So, I'm going to ask Peter to light three candles. One is for the three children we lost so many years ago, Chris, Vic, and Angel. Their memory lives in our hearts and is one of the reasons that we do this every year, and as well as be part of the support group. I want Peter to light the second candle. This is the candle for all the Empty Cradle parents who, for whatever reason, cannot be here tonight, but have come through the doors of our room to share their stories and to share their children. Each one remembered, each one precious. And finally, the third candle is for all the parents of the world who don't have a support group that they can receive comfort and healing from. We trust that they will be surrounded by hope and love and strength by those in their lives as they journey towards healing. I'm going to ask Nicole and Jacqueline to come down so that they can be available to help you if you need any assistance with the candles or the mic or the flowers. And I encourage you to come down as you are ready to share your child and the few memories that you have.
Thank you.
today for my sister, Esther, whom I never met.
There's a poem called We Remember Them. And if you would like to join in reading that together, I'll let her lead you. And then I she will have a few words of wind up, and I will also have a few words of wind up to share with you before we dismiss for the evening. So go ahead.
So I invite you into the poem, as Nancy has already invited us. I will read the words, and you read We Remember Them. In the rising of the sun, and in its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind, and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds, and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of the summer,
we remember them.
In the rustling of the leaves and in the beauty of autumn,
we remember them.
As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us, as we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart,
we remember them.
When we have joys we yearn to share,
we remember them.
When we have decisions that are difficult to make,
we remember them.
From the beginning of the year until it ends,
we remember them.
As long as we live, they too will live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. So before Nancy closes, I have a closing blessing to read. So I invite you to open your hands if you wish to receive this blessing. May the blessing of love be upon you. May its peace abide within you and accompany you. May its essence illumine your heart, now and in the days to come, giving us the peace of acceptance and understanding of the deepest treasures of love that never die. In the spirit of love we have gathered, and in the spirit of love and light let us now depart. Go in peace until Nancy.
Thanks, Grace. That was lovely. Our time together has now come to an end. I'm going to ask Rob to play the music again. If you wish to linger for a few minutes to ponder what we have shared together tonight, feel free to do so. Otherwise, with all of my heart, I extend our appreciation for sharing this time with us tonight. May you have a safe journey home, and may this memory of this evening bring you closer to your child and live in your hearts as you journey towards healing. Please exit quietly so as to not disturb those people who would like to stay and reflect. Good night.